Coming up in the next couple of weeks and beyond here on the Aaron Keck Show, and pretty much at this time of the week, Mondays at 4:30, we're going to have some special guests coming on to the show from UNC, educators and humanities scholars in particular, to talk about their research, their work, and why it matters. We are joined now to kick this off by Max Orr, who's the executive director of Carolina Public Humanities, which organizes events and happenings in the public humanities on campus. Max, thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure to be here, Aaron. Thank you for having me.
And you're also in the history department as well.
I am indeed. I'm a lecturer. Yes.
So tell us about Carolina Public Humanities for people who don't know. What is it and what do you do?
Well, we were founded in 1979 by Maynard Adams. He's a philosopher, and he founded the Program in the Humanities and Human Values, which is quite a mouthful. But the essential idea was that Maynard Adams believed that, and this should sound very familiar, that things were moving too much into a science-based realm, that people needed to think more about those fields of inquiry that touched on what he called human values, things that were sort of unquantitative aspects of our personality. So he founded this program in 1979, basically holding seminars that would feature humanities topics on the weekends, opening it up to the general public. And this would have been the feature of these weekend seminars for about 35 years. And then we really expanded about 7 or 8 years ago into other ideas, more lecture series, doing special great books reading groups at Flyleaf Books, doing all sorts of other activities, and also starting to reach out to teachers through our Carolina K-12 program. That's a lot of history just wrapped up in there, but all of this made it clear that we wanted to have a name that better represented exactly what it is we do. So just this year, we changed our name to Carolina Public Humanities, which we think is a little bit more descriptive.
And for people who are listening out there and don't know, I think a lot of people listening may already be aware of this, but for those of you who don't, Chapel Hill, UNC, really is a center for the public humanities. Like it's a university that really has made this effort through this institution and in other ways to really promote not just humanities research, but that idea of the public humanities, connecting humanities scholars and scholarship with the general public and making those connections. So it's not just doing the research, but also understanding why it matters and doing research that matters. And I think that's absolutely terrific. Yeah. And as someone who went to grad school in the humanities, there needs to be more of that. And the fact that UNC is front and center there, I think,
and
is terrific.
And has been doing it since 1979. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of universities out there that have humanities programs, lifelong learning programs. And so there are other ones out there, but we are one of the first ones out there, and we're one of the more established ones. Just a few years ago, there was a national study of public humanities programs, and they picked 10 programs to study throughout the country, and ours was one of them. So yeah, there definitely is a sense that UNC knows how to do this.
Yeah, and I think it's also important too, when you mention Maynard Adams in 1979 saying this then, and it's still the case today, that there's so much of a focus on the STEM fields, which are extremely important. In addition to the STEM fields, the social sciences are important, the humanities are important.
My colleague found today a book, I believe he found it in the history department, written by a historian at UNC in the 1940s, maybe 1942 or something, about the state of the humanities. And reading it, it was just, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. It's sciences and more practical applications are being the focus of universities, and we need to establish the humanities. So it is new. It feels really critical now as we get more and more of a technological society, as we get more and more of a society that doesn't like to think deeply about issues that affect humans and how we interact with each other. But it certainly has been a long-standing issue. How do you promote the humanities in a commercial society that tends to value the sciences and tends to value, economic gain?
I got to say that the fact that this argument has been going on since the 40s and 50s, 60s, 70s makes me feel a little bit better about today. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if you read history and it makes you feel a little bit better about today. I know most people don't have that reaction.
It can go both ways.
It really does, doesn't it? Yeah. Speaking with Max Orr, history lecturer and the executive director of Carolina Public Humanities. So some of the ongoing initiatives and projects and life classes that are going on right now.
Well, sure. We have, the way we work on a semester basis, we have a fall semester, a spring semester, and then a summer semester. That means winter is the time of our discontent. But as you know, so it
and it is coming.
So, and it is coming. No, we well, of course, in between the fall and the spring. So each semester we put together a roster of programs, and there our roster of programs will generally be those that are designed for the lifelong learner or designed for people that are interested in one-off ticketed events throughout. Those include our great books. Those include our lecture series at Flyleaf Books. Those include these weekend seminars. And then we, of course, have our Carolina K through 12 activities, which I can speak about separately. But we have some great programs still coming up for weekend seminars, including this weekend we have Tim Carter coming to talk about American musicals of the 1940s in times of war and peace. And it's really amazing what you can do with a scholar like Tim Carter, who can talk about something that seems, I mean, maybe just between you and I, you and me, it feels like musicals are kind of light and fluffy.
Right.
But what he does is it's so contextualized to realize that the musicals are changing with the needs of the society. In World War II, we have this sense that the world has to motivate for war, and then we have to get out of this wartime moment. And so in the 40s, musicals were changing from Oklahoma to Carousel and Anchors Away, moving into these into a whole new zeitgeist. And it's really interesting. Tim Carter is excellent at bringing those out.
That's fascinating. Yeah. Like South Pacific, too, probably.
Let me see what he's going to do. Carousel, Annie, Get Your Gun.
Yes.
And then a general lecture on Broadway Goes to War, which I imagine would have those. And this is my ignorance. I don't know my musicals well enough, but.
Yeah, and my knowledge starts in the 50s. So, like, anything Rodgers and Hammerstein and anything, it's like, it's the block in my knowledge. But
that's
yeah.
why we have scholars like Tim Carter to come and talk
that's
about.
That's fascinating, though, because I would never think, like, and it's true, like, as America goes to war in World War II, like the economy, society, life, and culture shift in that direction. So of course musicals would too. And what is the relevance for today? Like how is the modern musical in the last 15, what are we up to now, 16 years? How has it transformed in response to,
we sort of think of this age of classical musicals, but they keep going on. Hamilton, I mean, they're just, they always are reflecting something about who we are, and yet it's done through song and dance. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
But,
oh,
you know, that should be really interesting. He's got a wonderful British accent, too, which always,
always helps
with everything. And he's a fantastic lecturer. The following weekend, we have, just to give you a sense of how different our topics are, we have Representing the Sacred, World Religions and Artistic Expression. This is where we're going as far back to ancient Egypt and looking at various ways that, you know, art has reflected the sacred. So looking at science and Islamic arts in the Middle Ages, we're looking at Luther's Wittenberg, and we'll be working with Carolyn Allmendinger from the Ackland Art Museum, who's going to be coming and talking about a particular painting that represents Lutheran art. That's something I don't always associate, Lutheran and art, but there it is.
No, I went to Lutheran Church. Your inclination is not incorrect.
And then Buddhist art and iconography. So it's going all over the world, looking at different religions and different artistic traditions. It really should be an interesting seminar. The following weekend, A Woman in Fiction and Film. Again, this is one of these looks at a very broad timeline from ancient Greek plays to classical novels to film. And it just should be a really wonderful look at, you know, how women's roles have developed, how they've changed, what the expectations of a female character is. And I love the fact that we go all the way up into film where we can look at the transformation of, say, the female character, the heroine in the cartoons, if you will, in these new Pixar films, and how they have just changed. You've seen in 15 years how these have changed dramatically.
Oh, so, yeah, definitely.
Dialogues are shorter seminars. The ones that I've all mentioned to you are shorter. They have usually three or four speakers, and they take a lot, you know, a good investment of time, but so worth it because they have panel discussions. But if you'd like something shorter, we have something called Dialogues, and on November 18th and December 2nd, we have two of those. They just feature two speakers, and one of them is going to be on transitions in global labor on November 18th, and on December 2nd, we'll have one on Italy then and now, and really then and now, because we're looking at Rome and Italy, and we're looking at Italy today. So it should be a very interesting, you know,
Awesome.
We can tie this together.
Yeah, definitely. So you're reading all that from a program. Where can people get information? Where can they go online to find all this?
Humanities.unc.edu has a full listing of all of our events and all of our programs. And from humanities.unc.edu, you can always link over to carolinak12.org, which has all of our resources for teachers.
Yeah, tell me more about that.
I'd love to tell you about that. We have... I believe it was 2012, we had incorporated something called the Civic Education Consortium. Mm-hmm. They were housed in the School of Government. And what they did was civic education and social studies training for teachers. They came over and became part of the program in the Humanities and Human Values, and we sort of have started to expand some of the work that they do so that we can now hold broader seminars for teachers and workshops on various aspects of history, North Carolina history and culture. We have a wonderful a Shakespeare one we've done with the North Carolina Museum of History. So expanding that, these are teacher workshops that are 100% free for teachers. Anybody can come. We treat them very well. Our teachers in our states are need all the help they can get. They are not they're underappreciated. So we treat them very well. We bring them in. We bring scholars from UNC who do more than just share their wealth. You know, mm-hmm. This is everything I know. What they do is they come and they give a talk, and then our staff can put them together into lesson plans and curriculum that all fit the Department of Public Instruction. So it's you get the content that's new cutting-edge content from university, and it's put in a place where teachers know how to use it. And that part is always missing, I think, and that's what Carolina K-12 does so well.
That's really cool. And very similar to, the School of Government, right? We've got that institution at UNC mm-hmm. that's not necessarily about research or about teaching undergrads or grad students, but really, putting together resources to help people do their jobs better, yeah. whether it's teachers or legislators or whoever else.
Yeah, and the School of Education does a great job, obviously, training teachers, of course. What we tend to do is we're not about training teachers. We're about helping those that are already doing the work. You know, they need to get continuing education units. They need to keep up their certification. So there are all sorts of things that we can help them do for that.
Humanities.unc.edu is the website for Carolina Public Humanities. To get more information on that, including all of those workshops and lectures and classes that are coming up, we're speaking with Max Orr, Executive Director of CPH, and talking today to kind of launch this, weekly series.
I would love to come back. I got a lot of... I'll bring other people that are more
but
interesting than I am.
Bringing other people who also bring their research and their knowledge and their expertise and the really fascinating work that's being done in the humanities. I know just speaking as someone who works in a news department, we get press releases all the time from UNC, and the press releases are all from... are all about breakthroughs in the sciences, especially medical research. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of breakthroughs from the Leinberger Center and things like that.
All important.
And, fascinating stuff that's literally life-changing and life-saving. There is also, in addition to that, a significant amount of terrific life-changing, in some cases life-saving research that's being done in the social sciences and humanities, and we want to get the word out about mm-hmm. that as well. So you're in the history department. You work with a lot of people at CPH. What are some of the great studies that you've seen recently that people have done at UNC?
Well,
spoiling future guests.
This is how badly I'm going to play this, is that I'm actually going to point to an institution down the road at NC State.
Okay.
And the reason I wanted to bring that up, you said about life-changing, that the technological branches and sciences are doing a lot of life-changing, mm-hmm. research. And I agree. No one is trying to say that we shouldn't have the STEM science, the STEM fields. But what I wanted to bring up was how important the humanities are for us as citizens mm-hmm. and for our critical thinking and our ability to parse out what is real and what is not real. And that's an important topic these days. At NC State, they had just done a study, Anne McLaughlin, a researcher there in the psychology department, had just done a study that looked at students' ability to critically think about information that they are receiving. And what they did as a case study is they used humanities courses. The students that took humanities courses compared to those that didn't, and they were presented with pseudoscience at the beginning of this test. Mm-hmm. After taking humanities critical thinking course, these test cases came back, and they wanted to see who was better at parsing out pseudoscience and real science and fake news and real news.
Nice.
And it was clear that those that had taken humanities courses were better at figuring out just what was real and what was fake.
Yep.
And that to me is a critically important study that's coming out. In terms of research, there are so many things that are going on, new studies that are being found all the time, and I don't even know where to begin at this point, but new studies on...
You just began with that
one.
Yeah,
exactly.
New
studies on, you know, on how our labor forces are changing, mm-hmm. what that means for our families, how our, you know, how this... our understanding of the sacred and the profane. I mean, that affects everybody, and you know, as citizens and as humans, you know, anything that has to do with humans.
Yep.
Humanities.
There you go. All right. Speaking with Max Orr again, humanities.unc.edu is the website for Carolina Public Humanities. Go there, find out more. Anything else upcoming that people ought to know about else that people ought to know?
Absolutely. If you want to come for a fun time on November 8th, we have Humanities Happy Hour, and we'll be we bring in scholars who have been Institute for the Arts and Humanities fellows. To talk very casually about their research. The idea is it's held in a bar, at Back Bar in Chapel Hill.
Oh, yeah.
And similar to the Science Cafe, which is a great program, and we wanted to create something for the humanities. So it usually is every third Wednesday. It's on November 8th this upcoming month.
It's the day after Election Day. That's perfect
timing. Exactly. Yeah. You need to unwind and come and have a beverage of your choice. You do not have to have an alcoholic beverage. We do have free snacks and sodas available for anybody who comes. And hear a brief talk on perfumes in Mughal, India.
Ooh.
And then just ask questions and have a good time. We had a wonderful talk just this last Wednesday on Chinese cuisine. Michelle King came, gave this really interesting talk. We had someone, Sam Amago, came back in September and talked about trash and Spain. And it sounds obscure, but what you realized was that the important issue with Sam Amago, he got us to look at trash and got us thinking about society. And who, as a person, is trash?
Yes.
And who? I mean,
We
start out. It seems esoteric, and then you get some really deep ideas in there.
Love it. Carolina Public Humanities, humanities.unc.edu is the website. Max Orr, thank you so much.
All right, thank you so much, Aaron. I appreciate it.